Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church. It's a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me for another edition. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020. This is edition number 40 of the Morning Devotional. Today we're going to be looking at just the very first part of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. But let's pray together first, and then we'll consider the subject of prayer this morning, as well as for many mornings to come. We're going to be looking at this particular topic. But let's pray. Father, now as we come to your word, we would pray that you'd give us grace and you'd help us, that you would minister to us, that you would indeed teach us to pray and to pray rightly before you. Be gracious to us now and show forth your favor. May you give us your spirit that we would understand these things. From your word, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 is the beginning of what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And here, Jesus says, pray then like this. And what we note right away is that this is a model prayer. It's an example of prayer. It's not one that necessarily has to be recited word for word. But in many churches, in their worship service, they do in fact do that. Of course, it's important when we do recite it that we know what we're saying when we're praying this prayer. And for the next number of days, we're going to go through this prayer. And I hope to show you what it's teaching us and how it informs us in our prayers before God himself. We're going to just simply take up the subject of prayer this morning using the Westminster Shorter Catechism. I am an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church in America. I took vows to uphold these standards and believe that they are an accurate summary of what the Bible teaches. And the Bible does teach us much on the subject of prayer. And so question 98 of the Shorter Catechism simply asks, what is prayer? Well, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. We read in 1 Peter 5 how we are to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. That is, God cares for us. We're to offer our desires unto God. And we take note of other references from Psalm 10:17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And so we are to bring those needs, those desires, those petitions before God in prayer. Now, the disciples, they took note of Jesus when he was praying in Luke chapter 11. They took note many times in the Gospels of Jesus praying. And there, Jesus takes an opportunity as he was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus then uses this prayer to teach them how to pray, how to offer their desires up to the God of heaven. But it is qualified in the answer in the Shorter Catechism question. There's a qualification for things that are agreeable to God's will. We can't ask God for permission to sin. We can't ask for God for things that are outside of his revealed will as given to us in his word. We can ask for things, and we should ask for things that are indeed agreeable to his will. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so he does hear us when we ask for things according to his will. For instance, if you were going into surgery and you were wondering, praying, maybe, you know, will the Lord be with me when I'm there? Well, he's promised to be with you. It's agreeable to his will to say, Lord, please be with me and help me while I'm in this surgery, even as you have promised me. But we can't necessarily ask for things that we do not know are agreeable to his will with any kind of definitive promise in his word. For instance, if we are to take a job in another state, we don't necessarily know, as we pray about that matter, we don't necessarily know that God would actually want us to move through providence and through other things, counsel and wisdom of others. we will arrive, as Proverbs 3 tells us, right where he wants us. But we don't have a verse in the Bible that tells us to move to that state or that city to take that job. But we must always remember then that we offer our desires unto God for things that are agreeable to his will. What are some of those things? Well, that I would grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, that I would, the fruit of the Spirit would be perfected in me, that I would live a holy life as is possible for a sinner, that I would understand his word as I'm reading it, as I'm studying it. These are just some examples of things that we know definitively are agreeable to the will of God. It goes on, and then it says, in the name of Christ. Now, we pray in the name of Christ because he is the means, the mediator. He is the one who stands between the Father and us. He is the great high priest who mediates on behalf of his people. And so, it's because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're actually able to enter into the holy place, the most holy place, as it were, and pray and plead with God for the things that we need each day. And so we pray in his name because of the fact of what he has accomplished. Now, we have to be very careful, and most prayers end in Jesus' name or in the name of Christ or because of his, for his sake or something to that effect. But we want to be very careful that we don't violate the third commandment when we pray that way, just simply signaling the end of the prayer. It certainly does do that, but we want to remember that we're invoking and using the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we want to use it with reverence, with thought, with care as we do so. But we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, with confession of our sins. And we should always be desirous to confess our sins before God because we know that our Father in heaven will indeed forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And we need to remember that we are fallen creatures. We are standing before the thrice holy God of heaven, and we're offering our desires, and we're pleading with him, but we recognize that we are creatures of dust, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. This is why we need the Savior. But we need to also confess, and we need to offer our sin, our confession of sin, before God himself. Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. If one regards iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear us. And we certainly want the Lord to hear us when we pray. And so it's good to remind ourselves that we should confess our sin to our Father in heaven as we pray. And we should do that specifically, particularly, not just some blanket, forgive me for my sins, as though we don't really have any idea what we're confessing. No, to confess sin is to say the same thing about that sin as God would say about that sin. And so we confess our sin. So we offer our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And we should be a thankful people. We should always, in our prayers, thank God for the many things that he has done for us. It could be something very specific that has just happened recently, a particular answer to prayer maybe, or just the general things of protection and care and daily bread and your salvation, which isn't general in any by any means, but we should be thankful. And so when I teach people to pray, especially publicly, because there's different kinds of prayer, right? There's private prayer, and then there's public prayer, and those are different. It's still prayer, but I pray very differently in my study at the church than I do in the pulpit on the Lord's Day. But I teach people, to, when they pray publicly, to try to have some method. And a good method that I learned many years ago is simply following the letters ACTS, Acts, right? A, adoration. We begin our prayer with praise and thanksgiving, praise and adoration of God, the God of heaven. Thank you for being my God and you, the alone sovereign of heaven and earth, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything I can ask. We adore him. Then we move to confession of sin, where there we acknowledge that we are dependent creatures in need of God's forgiveness. Then to thanksgiving, T, and to be thankful for all that God has given to us. And then we move to supplication, S, where we lay our petitions before God in heaven. We need to learn how to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray because they needed to learn, and we need to learn. And we'll continually learn as we pray how to commune with the living and true God and plead with him before the throne of heaven and beg of him the things that we stand in need of. Prayer is a demonstration of our dependence upon him. And so may we be people of prayer. And we're going to spend the next number of days going through this Lord's Prayer as it teaches us how to pray. I trust these times are a benefit for you. I hope they are. If you would like to contact me, the information is there before you. So until tomorrow, when we begin to look at the Lord's Prayer in more detail, may the Lord bless you and keep you today, and may you strive to serve him in all that you do. God bless.